This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
The school strike for climate was held in the square here in Palmerston North on Friday, the 26th of May. Manawatu People's Radio supported the demonstration with a PA and also recorded the speeches so that they could be shared with people who couldn't make it on the day. Here those are now.
Kia ora, tēnā tātou katoa. Kia ora everyone. Can everybody gather over here? Please gather up. Gather up. Bunch together. Bunch together. We're a community committed to pushing back against climate change, so getting close is a good thing. Kia ora and tēnā koutou katoa, e mihi ana ki tō tātou nei, kaupapa o te rā nei. So I'm going to start us off in a good way, as we do, as we always should do, and then pass it over to Autumn, who's going to run through the program and schedule of speakers. Nō reira, me pēnei ana te kōrero, e mihi ana ki ngā maunga, ngā pai maunga, te awa e rere ana tō tātou nei tai ao, te whenua, te piringa o te whenua ki te tangata, e ki atu nei he tangata whenua. Nō reira, mihi atu kia rangitāne, ona piringa kia tātou katoa, me take au te tai karakia. Takiri ko te ata, he manu kororī, he manu kororā, he reo anō tērā no tua whakarere, nau mai te rā, haere rā te pō, e hiake ana te atakura, he tio, he huka, he hauhu, tihei, maure ora. So kia ora, welcome everybody, my name is Tiano Tuiono. I just got told to welcome you all, but I think I know pretty much everyone here as well. What we do know is that there are people gathering right across the country who want to see more ambitious action on climate change, who recognise and understand that we're in the middle of a climate emergency, and that requires for us to make some tough political choices in terms of making sure that we can do everything that we can do to support each other and to support the environment. And with that, I will now pass over to Autumn.
Kia ora tātou. Thank you so much, Tiano. We have, an amazing lineup of speakers from 350 Extinction Rebellion, from local council, and the MPs. I realised that we had Tangi Utakiri. Thank you for coming. And he has to go shortly, so we're going to hand over to him first. Thank you.
Tēnā koe, Autumn. It's the first time I've had to do something like this, lower the microphone just a little bit, so it make you feel good. Kia ora koutou katoa, tēnā koutou katoa, and good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here. Can I acknowledge Tiano Tuiono, the other Member of Parliament of Cook Island descent based in Palmerston North? We often get muddled up, but we're very different. He's wearing green, I'm wearing red, so that should set the tone for today. Can I also acknowledge the city councillors who are here, Brent, Katie, anyone else who's here, to August and others for organising the event today. Can I congratulate you on having an approach that is sustainable by continuing to keep on the agenda, the public and community agenda, what is a significant, if not it is the most significant, issue facing us now and facing future generations. Autumn had asked me to just say a few words about public transport. In particular, the focus of Horizons and others here in Palmerston North around the approach they had taken to future-proof public transport here in Palmerston North and in the wider region. Not that long ago, many of us actually gathered here in Te Marae Ohine just over there to acknowledge the fact that one of our regional councils had made the decision to go out and tender for a public transport system that would effectively be one that is focused on sustainability and protecting our future. And so we should all here in this local community be extremely proud of the fact that those who are making those decisions have paved the way that next year when our bus service hits the roads, that it will be the largest fully electric fleet here in Palmerston North. So I do want to acknowledge Horizons. I want to acknowledge Palmerston North City Council for the role that they play in this space as well. And I want to just also acknowledge the government in terms of putting forward initiatives and incentives that allow regional councils around the country to make that decision easily. This week I've been out and about talking about the budget. Last week's budget was a focus on today, but also a focus on the future. And so we've made some bold investments in terms of public transport, ensuring that those who need it most, it would be wonderful, of course, to have it more accessible for all, but we need to start somewhere. The climate emergency and climate change is a real issue, and it has taken some time for fellow parliamentarians to accept that. But I think when I look around the Parliament, many, many, many are on board, and it's decisions that local governments like Horizons and Palmerston North City Council are able to make with the support of parties like Labor and the Greens that will encourage and support decisions for the future to be made easily, making it more accessible for people, but also making it more sustainable. So I'll leave it at that. My apologies, I do have to go. I've got a rail matter to go in and look into in a good way. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, kia rana koutou.
Thank you so much, Tangi. Is Milo, did you want to come up? Thank you so much.
I put it on my phone. I didn't have time to print it out. I'm saving paper. Yeah. Hello, everyone. My name is Milo. My pronouns are they and them. And I am here representing the group 350 Pamutana. And I want to say I am very young. The older I've gotten, the more terrified I've gotten for our planet. As I get better at understanding and comprehending how deep the damage runs, how ingrained and normalised our lifestyles are that bring harm to our planet, we need to change this, normalise sustainable options and lower our consumptions. We need to reimagine current sectors like agriculture, energy consumption, transport, as well as how our cities are designed and function to get people out of cars, making having a car a less necessary for everyday life. Have more people wanting to use public transport and reconnect with nature, no matter how small. Doing this will help us lower our emissions, I believe. Lowering emissions will save lives, save homes, save communities, slow the rate of global warming, lower the severity of extreme weather occurrences, preserve our ecosystems, nature, animals, as well as us humans. We, as a human race, need to act up to keep our planet in the best condition we can for our future generations. We demand that the government reduces emissions by 50% by 2023 without relying on offsets. Agriculture makes up 50% of our greenhouse gases, so we need to make positive changes to the agricultural sector for a better support farmers and our whenua. We need to change how we practice farming, so we are investing in our earth, our soil, our land, and our people. We need to value our produce, not just to squeeze as much growth, life, and profit out of the earth. We need farmers and their farms to live, but we need to invest in regenerative agriculture to have a food source sustainably. Now, I was very uneducated on what exactly regenerative agriculture meant, but it blew my mind, and I encourage all of you to go have a look and do some research. And we demand that the government will help reinvest in 100% regenerative agriculture by 2030. This includes no-till farming, to phase out synthetic nitrogen fertilizer, to give grants to cover cropping on farmland, and to reduce our cow herd. Another vital change needed, and that is one that goes back to 350 more, to our homegrown energy project, is that our energy sector makes up about 40% of our greenhouse gases. And did you know we are still relying on coal, and coal is becoming more and more finite, making it more and more expensive as we run out? Meaning the longer we wait to switch entirely to clean energy, the longer it will cost you. The government has dividends in three of our four NZ genitalers, which are power companies, meaning the drive for them to change our power system is low, as the cost to build wood, to build wind turbines and other clean green energy will come directly out of their pocket, which is how power companies have gotten away with this for so long, creating a monopoly for huge corporations to charge as much as they like. If you're interested to learn more about this and how you can help, come have a chat with me afterwards and we'll grab your email and have a little discussion. Second to lastly, we need to prioritise te tiriti-centred climate justice. Indigenous communities have lived on their lands for thousands of years. Colonisation and capitalism has disrupted this sacred flow, uprooting communities, ecosystems, putting species at risk and disrupting the natural processes that regulate our land and our climate. We need to invest in our Indigenous voices, return mana whenua. This is Māori land, always has been, always will be. They deserve their mana motu haki, autonomy, and self-governments. Lastly, I want to say it is cruel and unfair to teach climate change as a scientific fact in school, but not allow us to make change. I was 16 just over 2 years ago. It's been said again and again that I have worked and been taxed, yet have no say in how I wanted the government to use this taxpayer money. Some may say, just wait a year or two, it's not that bad. A year or two is wildly important in a world that is and will soon be rapidly affected by climate change. We are seeing it now up in Auckland. And I'm thinking to myself, as I'm sure many others my age have, what if I had been able to vote? What if I could have voted for a party and they had more members in Parliament to make more change? Would they have been able to do more for our climate in these past 4 years? If young people had been able to vote years ago, would that have impacted our emissions? I think it would have. Our generation is growing up more aware than ever about climate change because we are seeing the impact in our lifetime. It's unethical for climate change to be such a well-known topic and issue for young people, but to make them wait. When they want change now, and our world needs change now, I call on the government to listen to our Supreme Court case declaring that preventing 16 and 17-year-olds declaring that preventing 16 and 17-year-olds to vote is inconsistent with the Bill of Rights, breaching our human rights. Thank you very much.
So much, Milo. Oh, you covered all the demands. That's amazing. That's insane. I talked a lot last time, so I just wrote down a poem, and I was going to share it before we get into the other people. Where is it? It's by Jane Louise Davies. Summers are getting hotter, faced with spells of drought. Our climate is now changing, it's true without a doubt. Forest fires are burning, a threat to wildlife there, leaving a scorched and barren land looking sad and bare. We think about our future and wonder what can be done. This is the world we live in, and it's only one. That's it. So yeah, our demands on behalf of School Strike for Climate are reduce emissions now, enable 100% transition to regenerative agriculture by 2030, prioritise te tiriti-centred climate justice and lower the voting age to 16, which is coming at a time before the election, and we are hoping to give an opportunity for Parliament or members of Parliament to be receptive to our demands and kind of give people indication of who to vote for if they care about climate change, which I hope they do. Right, who is next? Sorry, I can't. Thank you so much for everyone who's spoken already. Brent and Katie, did you want to? Come on. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Do you want to go first? All right. Kia everybody. It's so great to see you out today, and I hope we're not all getting blown away. Some of those signs are looking a bit like they might go travelling. I'm Kate Isabellan. I'm one of your Green Party city councillors, here with my colleague Brent Barrett, also a Greenie. I had a big speech prepared last time, and I thought I'm just going to sort of speak off the cuff of some developments from that sometime. Since that time, mostly I want to talk about what I'm calling the window. The window. We have a window of time, and we know that window is closing, not just because of climate-related issues and the weather that is coming to disrupt our infrastructure and disrupt our lives and even take some lives. What window we're also talking about is legislative change, which will influence and really radically change the way we on the ground here are able to influence how our cities are planned, how our resources are managed. That is going to be devolved upwards into a regional planning committee, so the more that we can do in Palmerston North in the next couple of years to try and solidify where it is we want our city going, what infrastructure we want to see, what preparedness we want to see, the time is now to start building that into our long-term plan so that when our influence is reduced over where we want to see that going, we've actually locked it in with a lot of evidence, a lot of really good planning, and that we are prepared for the future. About a month ago, I think it was, we held a local Green Party gathering at Tony's Pizza across the road, and we talked about how we would like to future fit this city, what that actually looks like in practice, what the vision is. And since that time, I undertook to take that vision and actually link it up. Cool. To actually link that up to things that are already in the council's long-term plan, that are already budgeted items, and to identify what's happening, how much resource is being put into that, and how fast that's projected to happen. And that way we can start to look at where the gaps are, where the policy isn't there, where it needs to be developed, where we need to put more funding in. So that's actually turned out to be a really big task that I've been working on, but it's shaping up into some really cool graphics to show us where we can most effectively push for the change that we want to see that's going to impact us here in Palmerston North. So those graphics are going to be coming out really soon. We'll probably put them onto our Palmy and Rangitike Greens page so that everyone can see them, share them, and that's a great way for you to give us feedback if you think we should be spending more on something or getting more specific with our policies. We've got a low carbon fund at the moment, and to my mind, that's not really moving forward in the way that I'd like to see it. So that's one area that we can really improve on. We also have a lot of talk about reducing our emissions by 30% by so-and-so date and looking at the easy swaps things that we can do to make that happen. What I'm not hearing is how we're going to reduce beyond 30%. What's the plan when we get to 30%? What's happening after that? Where's the long-term vision for that? So that's the other area that I'm really keen to see council start to develop and then tell that story, share it a lot better. And the other thing that I just wanted to talk to you about was I had a really inspiring briefing from some council officers recently about some of the planning that has happened for these areas of development for our 30 to 50 year plans. And what really encouraged me and inspired me was that stormwater and liquefaction and the natural flow of our waterways was absolutely key and core foundation for all that planning. So instead of channelizing our streams, instead of diverting stormwater in a pipe, we're actually looking at how those rivers flow, where they flood naturally, and building that into the design. So any designs, any planning that we have going forward will actually have that embedded into it, future fit properly, not just where can we channel the water and make it work, actually how does it work and how can we work within that. So I'm really, really pleased that we have that kind of planning happening here in Palmerston North. I'd like to be way more vocal about it because I think there's a lot of people in the community who do have a lot of concerns about what our flood risks are, what our climate risks are, and want to know that things are happening in that space and there are things happening in that space. The more we know about it, the more we can find where the gaps are and trying to plug those as well. That's pretty much all I wanted to say from me. I'm going to hand over to my colleague, Mr. Barrett.
Woo! Kia ora koutou. So good to be here and so good to see you guys here. Thanks for turning up. And thanks, Katie. Awesome rundown of where your thoughts are at and where some things are at. The point that I wanted to touch on a little bit is around how change happens in communities. And I've been on council for a few terms now, and I can tell you that change happens from the grassroots up. It happens with community leadership. It happens with community getting organized and creating mandates, because it's not really until a politician, even a local politician, sees a mandate that they are prepared to enact change. So this, what you are doing today, is to help build that mandate. So thanks for being here today. Thanks for turning up. I'd also encourage you to use the processes that are in place, whether it's in local government or in central government, to help build that mandate up. I'll give you a great example. It came out of Christchurch this year. Christchurch went out, just like every other council, consulted on their annual budget. Half of the submissions, they got 800 submissions in. 400 of those were about cycleways. 400 out of 800 submissions were about cycleways, and 80% of those were in support of cycleways. That handed Christchurch City Council a mandate, and they're going to be acting. You know, so it is really about what we can do to make sure that the community voice is really well aligned, really well focused. Because when we talk about those big aspirational targets, and thank you, Milo, because absolutely there with you in spirit in terms of what we want to see happen. It's about getting the practical steps in place that actually take us there, whether it's around regenerative agriculture, whether it's around pulling down emissions, and yes, whether it's about making sure that you get the chance to vote because you are being taxed. Absolutely no taxation, without representation. Fully support on that. So when you think about those big challenges, it's about making sure you're pulling all the levers you can and organizing as much pressure as you can put on your political representatives as possible to get that change. So today is part of it. Thank you very much for being here and making sure that you use those processes to really good effect. One more example, if I can, and Tanya talked about it briefly in terms of some of the new public transport infrastructure that's coming. What he didn't mention was that little thing that came through in the budget. Some of you might already be aware of it. It's that under 12s will be riding the buses for free forever, and the under 25s will be riding the buses for half price, and hopefully soon for free forever. How did that happen? Again, a strong youth-led campaign that was persistent and clear day after day after day, saying we need free access to public transport as part of a solution to the climate crisis, as part of how we actually address the cost of living challenges that young people are facing in terms of just giving people choices in life. So another great example where it was the community doing the leading, and frankly, it was the politicians doing the following. And I'd encourage you all, as the community and active here, to keep being active, to keep pushing for that change, because it does create mandates, and politicians will respond and make better choices. I know it is not as fast as we need to be. Katie and I are doing everything we can in that space, and there's others that are there that are allies as well. But the more pressure we can put, the better. Thank you again for being here, and kia kaha.
Okay, thank you so much, Brent and Katie. Amazing. Always come give some great speeches. Is anyone from Extinction Rebellion wanting to talk? Kissy? Oh, okay. I mean, you don't... I'm not forced.
Kia ora. Thanks, Autumn. This is a little bit unexpected, so I won't speak for too long. But I'm here from Extinction Rebellion. We have been holding this space here for, is it 4 years? Yeah, a long time. Every Friday, in support of Fridays for Future, which is a student-led kind of kaupapa. And we've been here every day. And, you know, I think last time I talked about the things that I have learnt from being here and talking to people. And the things that I've learnt is people's perception of climate change. It's not simple. You know, it's not a simple answer. There isn't a black and white. We all need to do this. All these things need to change. There's many things need to change. And it's still relevant. I think that one of the big things that we can really do together and all of us together is just support each other and solidarity with everyone else, because without social justice there is no climate justice, and without Yeah, without Indigenous justice, there is not climate justice and there's not ecological justice. So, yeah, solidarity, number one. Yeah, come down on a Friday. We're here in the morning, 10 till 1, I think. If you can make it, then we'd love to see you. Even if you don't hold the Extinction Rebellion flag, solidarity is key. So, yeah, kia ora.
Kia ora, everyone. My name's Sean. So I want to start by thanking everyone for turning up here. Thank you for all being here. Thank you for fighting. And thank you for caring. I think at this point, enough of us are aware of climate change, right? We know what's happening, but it's too big. What is to be done? We have the data and the evidence. We have the reports. We have the technology. Do we have the will? Protest is for the people. For the people to show the state that something is wrong. And a lot is wrong. Climate inaction is one of them. The cost of food, for food that we need to survive, the cost of living is too damn high. I work with a group called Roslyn Commons Project, with Josh and Kirsty. We have a community garden that's so much more than just a community garden. We're a group of radicals that are trying to build community solutions from there. And we're hoping to show people that there is another way of doing things. We don't have to be beholden to the supermarket duopoly and criminally high food prices. We can work together and show everyone that there is another way. There's a lot of mahi to be done, so if you're serious about change, come and talk to us after this, and let's work together to build something outside capitalism. We can do this. Kia kaha. I just want to end with some words, some lyrics from one of my favourite songs by Caligula's Horse. There's your ocean rise, a legacy in living, a promise in an ending, triumphant. Your ocean rise, setting sun, the desert cannot drown the water. Be the flood, be the ocean. We rise into the epitaph, an end to measure man. We rise. Here where the body shapes the mountain, where you stand, the ocean rises alive. Thank you.
Right. My name is Denise. Most of you don't know me, but that's okay. The council has not done enough when it comes to putting in bike lanes. I've spoken to council already. The new Cuba Street upgrade is great, of course, but they haven't been put the correct infrastructure to support more bike usage, more people going there. There's no seating, there's no nothing, which is fine. But mainly, why is it $5 to go to Fielding? It should be cheaper, right? It should be a bit cheaper to go regionally. You would hope so, eh? This is not like a National Labour Act green idea. This is a common sense idea. The more funding that goes into public transport, the better. A place like Longburn, beautiful Longburnia, doesn't have any public transport. There's a train line, but there's no transportation. There's no train station. There's no buses that go in. Of course they're going to drive to work. Those emissions are going to go up. Petrol's going to be used. Of course. So this council can do more. It's doing a lot. There's a few things more. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. We have a route that we're going to walk around the square. We might take some photos. We'll close and then take photos and then organise to walking around the square. I've got some chants as well, which we didn't get to do last time, which was so something I should have done, but we've got our opportunity today. So, Tiano, do you want to finish? And then we'll close up. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, again, for speaking and coming. It means a lot to all of us.
Kia ora, tēnā tātou katoa. I just want to really support everything that's been said from right across our beautiful region, from Longburnia. That's a new one. Thank you. right across to what's the other side of Longburnia, Ashurst, and everything in between. It tells me that when we are connected communities, that we can do all the things that need to happen. You know, at the end of this, in October the 14th, there is going to be an election. So I hope we are all turning our minds to the political choices that we all have to make. And one of the ways that we can contribute is to vote. For me, and having a coalition of cuts led by the National Enact Party is not an option. What we need is a coalition for climate justice. We need a coalition for climate justice. A coalition that will work with city councils and regional council to help to, you know, make those levers move so that we can have those better public transport options, those active transport transport options. Because, you know, the maths of it is the more of us out of cars and onto public transports, that's good for the planet. That's just good for the planet. And I want to continue to acknowledge the intensive weather events of this year as well. Napier, Hawke's Bay, Auckland, Northland, and again. And that says to me that, and I hope it says to you as well, that we are in the middle of a climate emergency. We are in the middle of it now. And so we need to be able to make those connections to make sure that we can all do all the things to make sure that we adapt to climate change, that we are resilient, but also make sure that we bring down emissions. We need to bring down emissions. That's what we need to do. And that's by being, and you know, constructive in the way that we organise ourselves in transport, but also support what the aspirations of what people have said here today. I think it was you, Milo, around regenerative agriculture, so important. There are better ways and ways that work with the land, which will still provide us with all the kai that we need as well, which are good for our communities, but also good for the climate, and also making sure that we do put Te Tiriti at the centre of all the things that we do, that Te Tiriti and making sure that we centre the voices of Indigenous peoples and how we organise ourselves for this bigger, better, greener future is so important, because people who have had that very long relationship with the whenua, there are things that we could all learn from that. So I wanted to acknowledge the people who also shared that sentiment as well. And also, you know, we've all got to put food on the table and pay our bills. So I want to also acknowledge the trade unionists who are here with us today. Oh, I see a TEU flag. There's probably a couple of others out here as well. Making sure that workers' rights are at the centre of a just transition is so important, so that we take our communities with us, that we take workers with us, so that they know when they are moving into a greener future that there is work, good work for them to do that will keep the lights on and put food on the table. And just acknowledging what the brother over here was saying around pushing back against the supermarket duopoly, we have to do that. Because while we were all sitting and experiencing the intensive weather events and also the climate and also the COVID pandemic, you know, companies were making bank. Like, the supermarket duopoly was making bank. People couldn't get out to their community gardens. They had to go to the supermarket. You know, banks were making bank. And also, in the middle of a climate crisis, fossil fuel companies were making outrageous profits. So when people talk about how we're going to fund all this stuff, well, let's look at the supermarket duopoly. Let's look at the fossil fuel companies. Let's look at the banks. Let's even it out a bit, a lot. And because I'm with the Greens, I'll end with a nerdy report. A couple of weeks ago, a report came out of Inland Revenue which showed that 311 families had more wealth than around 2.8 million of our poorest people in New Zealand. That's how wide the gap is between the rich and the poor. 311 families with more wealth than 2.8 million of us. We've got to do something about it. And that requires us to transform this tax system to make sure that everybody has food on the table, roof over the head, and they have a brighter, climate-stable future. And you can do that, and I can do that, and we can all do that together. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā tātou katoa. Oh. Kia ora. Big shout out to NPR and Hugh for always showing up for the community. Nice one. I will end us with a karakia, and then we will go for a wander. Okay, that's the plan. Tēnei te Māori e tauhi onei he mana atua, he mana tipua. Tēnei te Māori e tauhi onei he mana atua, he mana taiao. Ka puritia kia mau ki tēnā tēnō tātou, puritia kia mau, haumi e hui e, tā e ki e.
You're listening to Manawatū People's Radio, Te Reo Irirangi o ngā tangata o Manawatū, and you've just been listening to our recording of the speeches from the school strike for climate, which was held on Friday the 26th of May in the square. If you would like to hear this again or share it with a friend, you can find it on demand as a podcast at npr.nz/show/specials. If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.